Okay, well, we have to bring Greg Howard and Pastor Steve in, and the music stopped abruptly, which it shouldn't shouldn't have done. We were going to fade it in, folks, but as we're ringing Pastor Steve, we have Pastor Howard here. Are you with us, Pastor? Oh, I forgot.
I am, Brother Eli. Your volume's a little low. Why coming in?
Very good. Yes, you are. And we're still waiting for Pastor Steve to pick up. And
all right, yours is coming up a little bit.
Yes. Okay. So I'm just going to open my Pastor Steve hasn't answered, so I'm going to have to try to bring him in again. But let's just go into the study we've been doing on 2nd Esdras. And I believe we were in chapter 5, toward the end of chapter 5.
Brother, should we really be in this book? Do you believe this book actually applies to our current moment in time?
No, it's irrelevant.
Have we just missed the mark here?
All scripture is irrelevant. So some
should
people
we
say,
just be discussing how Jesus wants to save everyone on the planet with two legs, and we should actually be sending our children to preach to the Negroes in Africa?
Yeah.
Why are we just preaching this racially exclusive literature?
We need to send Bibles to Africa.
Yeah, right.
Good to hear Brother Steve chiming in there.
Well, see, they
food
can
for
use
thought.
The pages. They can use the pages to start the fires that they're going to cook the missionaries on.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, I wonder how many missionaries ended up in the boiling pot.
Oh,
they
man.
Were there sent to save those who were never meant to be saved. And somewhere the Jews had to have deceived our people into sending their best and brightest children to be missionaries. You know, I hate the term missionary. I hear a term missionary, I want to start smacking people in the mouth for even saying that term to me.
Yeah.
Missionary to whom?
Right. For what? Right.
What, do you want to go and save all these races that were never designed to be saved? You want to send your blessed children, your daughters, your sons over to Africa to save these wretched, dark animal creatures that were never meant for salvation?
Well, then we need to get the Western missionaries to go out and preach to the packs of wolves that they've re-released into the Western wilderness. Now, my brothers and sisters, please don't eat me, but I'm come here to bring you salvation. You're going to go to heaven and have all the deer you want to kill.
Yeah.
Why Brother, couldn't they I think save... if I had 20 shekels for every missionary that was boiled in a pot, I might be able to pay off my Jewish-inspired mortgage on my house.
Right, you know? Right. Oh, yeah. But even worse, they bring them over here. What are we supposed to do with them?
Eli, have you turned into a hater?
Well, road repair.
No,
you don't want
like
our
being
country
attacked.
To be overrun with colored races.
Road repair.
I mean, don't they enrich the culture there in Chicago?
Yeah, yeah.
Furlough pads.
Right.
I mean, apart from them killing 80 or 100 every weekend, I mean, don't you find Chicago enriched by all these colored races?
Well, it's a good market for guns, even though, you know, they claim that they're opposed to the Second Amendment, want to do away with guns. Nevertheless, gun violence in the black community in Chicago is the highest in the world. But they can't seem to do anything about it. But if there weren't any black people there, then there wouldn't be all this gun violence. That much is for sure.
I worry about you, brother, but I realize you are under divine care of Yahweh, so I really don't worry about it.
See, what they need to do, they need to build that wall there, just wall in that community and let them go.
Yeah. Well, all we're doing...
Wall it off, no in, no out.
Okay, that's a beautiful picture, Pastor Steve. Because the Jews have built a wall between themselves and the Palestinians, right? But if we built a wall around a black ghetto and just dump money into the wall, behind the wall. Do you think it would solve their problems?
No.
It would not, brother.
No. Yeah.
Because there, as long as there is the Jewish seed line alive on this planet, all the problems will exist.
Walls, whatever.
We could even isolate them on an island. They would find a way to escape.
It goes back to the premise that you cannot make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You cannot reconstruct creatures in another image, even with the tampering of the Nephilim. They have never risen above their status.
That's amen, right. brother.
There will be a few isolated incidences spurred by affirmative action. Some of them, if there is enough infusion of Caucasian blood, actually have some brains. But it doesn't come from the black side. It comes from the white side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We raise them up, and they drag us down. And that's how it is.
I've never seen any evidence to the contrary. Right?
No.
So I would guess Brother Steve is a fan and a proponent of segregation.
Amen.
Yes, I am white because that was the favorite hobby of my ancestors.
Right. Producing white children. Yes.
Hey, what do you want to do this weekend? Oh, I want to segregate.
Yeah, right.
Funny how we can look back, even though we can't trace it, thousands of years of our ancestors remain racially pure.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's been propounded to us daily where it's actually the right thing to racially mix. Anyone got a problem with that? Yeah. Well, let's just shout you down.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what thousands of years of your history
shows. Or hit you in the face with a bag of crap. Yeah.
Right, right. Or pepper spray or acid, right? This is what happens to white people who object to being multicultural out of existence. This is where we're at, folks. All right, so let's get back.
And funny that we find ourselves in a perfect book.
Right.
These books were purposely kept out of the Bible, quote-unquote Bible. Mm-hmm. By the way, I've grown to not like the term Bible. I've grown to not like that term. I want to know who came up with the term Bible. Because are some of the greatest books ever written that were not put in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Bible salesman.
So I wonder who came up with the term Bible.
The Greeks. Bible salesman. The Greeks did. Biblos. Okay.
I'm not even saying it's a bad term. But I realize there are books not included in those 66 books that are some of the greatest books of Scripture that were ever written. So I don't have any problem whatsoever with realizing that outside of the Bible, there are amazing books of Scripture written. Mm-hmm. And very few people on this planet understand that concept.
Right.
The masses of Judeo-Christians have no understanding whatsoever of what we are discussing here. And if there's some of them listening in tonight, I welcome them, and I ask them to approach what they will hear tonight with an open mind and to realize that Yahweh, our Father, has kept certain knowledge hidden from the masses, knowledge hidden and directed to the elect race alive at the end of the age who must be sustained and will receive understanding so they will know what is going on. That's who we are.
Right.
That's who we are.
Right. Well, the Bible is a record. Even though we don't even have to refer to extra-biblical evidence, the Bible is a record of our line of descent. So even if, and our people in their Bibles in Europe kept these lines of descent, and of course these were destroyed during World War II, and at other times as well, because the Jews envy our ability to keep records of our Israelite heritage. And so that's why they wanted to destroy the records and to destroy our race at the same time. But one of these extra-biblical accounts is 2 Esdras. But even 2 Esdras used to be in the original King James Bible. It was removed. Okay?
That's right.
So
yeah, it was third Esdras at that time. I'm doing the Ezra-Nehemiah commentary now on my word for word. Okay. And Nehemiah was part of Ezra, and it was known as Second Ezra.
Okay.
So this that we're reading now that they call Second Ezra would actually be Third Ezra.
Yeah, it depends on who names it, numbers it, because since it's extra biblical, at least today it is.
Jerome is the one that separated the books.
Okay. All right.
And the first edition, when they put them out in the Vulgate, they were separated. They were one book, like First and Second Chronicles, First and Second Kings.
I see.
They were all First and Second Samuel. They were all one book.
Yes. Okay, we stopped off at Second Ezra chapter 5, verse 30. And we had just gone through some of the most exclusive language in Second Ezra, going from verse 20 to verse 30, actually, and talking about that only one people was given the law, only one people was chosen. He uses the expression in verse 23, I believe, very, very small print, but thou hast chosen the only one vine is the language he uses. This is highly exclusive language that means it's own, and then he uses the color, the flower lily, to describe that
the
vine.
White lily.
Yeah, yep. The lily is probably the whitest.
I'm using my magnifier, and I've got a great.
And the color is not arbitrarily chosen here. Okay, it's the lily is the white flower, just as the white robes also, you know, represent white skin, but also righteousness, okay?
That's correct.
All right, so, you know, the interpretations, be they literal or figurative, point to only one group of people, and that's Israel.
Amen, brother.
Okay?
Yep. So let's these verses not validate two-seedline Christian identity? All these books that we're in basically... absolutely validate that two-seedline Christian identity is the true white man's Christian religion on the planet, and just destroys Judeo-Christianity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Go ahead, Steve.
Blatant example.
Yes,
they're right out there up front, not attempting to hide it at all.
Yes.
Now
we
see why these books were not put in the Bible. They were preserved.
They're too exclusive.
Well, they were written by Nazis.
Right.
Ezra would clearly
and
be
we must be neo-Nazis,
today.
Right? If we're reading it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let me back up to verse 28, because this begins a new train of thought. And now, O Yahweh, why hast thou given this one people over unto many? The Jews haven't been given over to anybody. The Jews have all the money in the world, and they're living high on the hog compared to us. We're the ones who are in bondage, not the Jews. And upon the
who
one
gave
root...
them the power to make money? That's
well, the devil.
Who
the
turned
devil
over to
out?
A Jew the power to create wealth?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously,
right.
That was one of the greatest. You know, I don't know that we gave it to them. They just created the moment where they could take
it themselves, right? Yeah. The fractional reserve banking system.
That was the end of the world, basically. The beginning of the end of the world.
Way back in Babel.
Put the Jews in charge of making and creating wealth.
There you go.
What could go wrong there?
Paper money. It's basically the creation of paper money.
Oy vey, I push a button, I'm a billionaire. Oy vey, I love it.
Yeah.
Stop persecuting me.
Yes. And then why hast thou scattered thy only people? Thy one and only people among many. Of course, this is a reference to the scattering of the 10 tribes with the addition of the 2 tribes. Okay.
This is the white race unfolding, right?
At this time, they were trickling back. You see, Ezra didn't come back with the first group. He was in the second group. Mm-hmm. He came back after Zerubbabel. And he was the chief priest and scribe, and he took over, and he was orchestrating all of this stuff. And Nehemiah was the governor that was appointed, and he was a contemporary of Ezra, and he issued edicts and stuff banning usury.
Right.
He made the wall be rebuilt. He was in charge of a lot of that. And everybody in Israel, in Jerusalem at that time, cooperated to rebuild that wall. That's the time period in which this was written. And he is recounting here in this book, wondering why Yahweh had brought them back when they had been punished. They had been in apostasy, and they were still in apostasy. He is still appalled at what he is seeing when he came back after Zerubbabel. He's seeing all this apostasy in Israel, in Yehuda, in Jerusalem, and they really put the hammer down on the Israelites. They made them get rid of all their mixed breed wives and the children, and they had to sign an oath, and they all had to sign up and agree that there would be no such thing as usury.
Yeah, and no hybrid
in
children.
Israel.
And no hybrid children.
No usury in Israel, because the rich Israelites, like the rich white people today, are sucking the other white people dry.
Yeah, right. Well, they're all sucking the teats.
They were doing the Babylonian practice of usury on their own people, like the white bankers are doing today at the behest of the Jews.
Yeah, and
they're not the top dogs in the bank. The Jews are, but they're still doing it to their own people.
Yes.
Just like in those days there.
Yes.
That all pertains to today.
Yes. And so Second Esdras laments. And he says, "Why have you done this to your people Israel? Wherefore, Yahweh, wherefore was I born then? Or why was not my mother's womb then my grave, that I might not have seen the travail of Jacob and the wearisome toil of the stock of Israel?" Okay? And we hate to see that too. We hate to see our own people under the yoke of Jewish usury and the delusion of multiculturalism. But that is what's happening. So this was happening in those days, is what you're saying, Pastor Steve, right? And Greg,
the attack has never stopped. It's just become more focused here in these final days.
He was mightily grieved at what he saw among his own people, as we, the elders of the remnant, are mightily grieved as what we see among the people that are our people but haven't joined the remnant.
Yes.
It upsets us to see these people go down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate those people. I want them to wake them up.
That's right.
And to watch them destroy themselves hurts me greatly.
Yeah. We're doing this out of love to wake our people up, yet we're constantly being accused of being full of hatred. Right?
Well,
it's amazing.
Love has to be tempered with righteousness. You can love, but you can't love so much that you love them more than you love the law of Yahweh.
Amen, brother.
That's the whole thing.
It has to be
regulated.
Yeah.
With common sense and righteousness.
Yes, there is no other way. All right, let me pick it up. Let's do five verses apiece here. I'll take verse 36 through 40. And he said unto me, "Number me the things that are not yet come. Gather me together.
Well, we were supposed to start on 30, Eli.
I was just recapping those. We ended on 35. Unless we can go over that again.
Okay, yeah, let's go to 35 then.
Yeah, 36. And he said unto me, "Number me the things that are not yet come. Gather me together the drops that are scattered abroad. Make me the flowers green again that are withered. Open me the places that are closed, and bring me forth the winds that in them are shut up. Show me the image of a voice, and then I will declare to thee the thing that thou laborest to know." And of course, these are hard things for a human being to do, even for an Israelite. And I said, "O Lord, thou bearest rule. Who may know these things? But he that hath not his dwelling with men. As for me, I am unwise. How may I then speak of these things wherefore thou askest me?" Then he said unto me, "Like as thou canst do none of these things, that I have spoken of, even so canst thou not find out my judgment, or in the end the love that I have promised unto my people. So these are actually words of comfort by the angel to Esdras. Yahweh is so great you cannot fathom Yahweh. So just rely on the faith of these scriptures and what I'm telling you, that he will make things good with Israel yet, but the time has not yet come. Your comment, Greg, at this point.
Well, brother, we got to jump ahead to 41. He says, okay. And I said, yet behold, O Yahweh, thou dost have charge of those who are alive at the end.
Hmm.
But what will those do who were before us, or we, or those who come after us? So it's clear here, Ezra was totally concerned with his race. You know, as at this point in history, there was really no doubt who Yahweh's people were on the planet. We live in such a weird time right now where our people have been deceived that Jews were the people that we're reading about here in
or
this book.
Or black Hebrews, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Hebrews. Back in the day, it was clear the white race was the elect race. You know, it's become so bizarre in the world now that if you have a white skin, you're some kind of weird hater. Even if you're not, they brand you. They thrust white guilt upon you. Truth be told, our race is the race of Yahweh on the planet. All the other races, apart from the Jews, we can debate their fate. The fate of the Jews is sealed via Obadiah and numerous other references.
Oh, yeah.
Our race, we are the children of Yahweh. We're the chosen race. Why? I'm not even sure. But we just are, and I accept it, and I love it. I wake up every morning and look in the mirror, and I have no white guilt whatsoever.
Neither do I.
I jump up and down that I'm white. I am so happy to be white. I love being white.
It's a blessing.
I love being white.
But it's also a responsibility. It's also a responsibility, and the churches have abrogated the responsibility to be righteous. And that's why the churches are failing. That's why they're failing.
That's right. But verse 41 reinforces to us the book that we're reading and studying and expounding here was written to those who will be alive at the end of the age. And that's the beauty of these hidden books.
Right.
They were not meant for the people where the time it was written. These books were written many, many, many centuries ahead to sustain those and educate and encourage those who would be alive at the end who were of Yahweh's children.
Right.
That's why we're in this book.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if you were able to listen to the show just before us, Pastor's Roundtable, but there was yet another earthquake, this time in Northern California, on the heels of the Mexican earthquake, on the heels of these hurricanes, et cetera, et cetera. It really seems like the end times are gathering steam, and we are in the end times.
It's all along that ring of fire out there.
That's right.
The problem.
That's right.
And volcanic activity all over through there.
And the message of Eurofolk Radio to our people is be ready, because these prophesied events are happening around our ears as we speak, and that there's no more time for delay. You must get right with Yahweh. Back to you, Pastor Greg.
Well, brothers, we are living in the craziest time maybe that's ever been, apart from when all the angels looked down and saw
right
crazy, beautiful white women partying around in little skinny jeans and makeup and showing off their bodies. Wait, they're still doing that, aren't they?
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, white women, they might be the most dangerous creatures on the planet. White women made angelic beings leave the heavens to come down.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible when you think about it.
That's how dangerous women can be.
Right, yeah.
By the way, I am actually looking for a white woman to be a companion for me.
Okay.
Just throwing this out there. By the way, I'm very complicated. You could consider me kind of a racist and a
male.
Bigot based upon Jewish terminology. I don't consider myself either of those. I don't know where that came from.
You're high maintenance.
All right, back to 2nd Ezra here.
Yes. All right, verse 42.
There's a woman out there that would have me, to be honest with you, because our women are just messed up.
Right.
The Jews have destroyed from the time of the garden where the serpent destroyed Eve to the current moment, our women have been under a nonstop attack.
Yes.
And I say this deception. To any white man out there that has an understanding white woman with him. Do yes. not underestimate how lucky you are and fortunate you are.
Well, Pastor Dan was on a show with Andy recently, and he talked about this men's movement that's happening right now. It's a men's celibacy movement.
Men going on without women. Yes, I know all about it.
Right, yeah.
I'm a member.
Because
brother.
They just can't find a good woman.
I just threw out that pathetic right? attempt to find myself a white woman.
Yeah, right.
All right. I think it's because they haven't beaten on my door.
Right. The fish ain't biting, Greg. The fish ain't biting.
I don't know what's going on, brother.
Yeah, so the Yahshua better come soon, right? We're tired of waiting for
most
good women
of them
to come
have already
along.
Slept with 10 or 20 Negroes, and now they right. want to settle down with a white man.
Yeah, right.
And, well, that's a problem.
Yeah. So please
now,
continue.
Women have been under attack by the serpent since the garden.
Yes, nonstop.
They didn't attack Adam. They attacked Eve. And the right. strategy has not changed since that time.
That's right.
Because
right.
our women are open to attack. Look how stupid they are. Look how easily they go out with a nigger
mm-hmm.
or someone of another race. It's been sold to them that to go out with a dark-colored person is cool and hip. And if you don't, you're right. a racist and a hater, so you better do it. And right. whatever he wants, you better say yes.
Well, yes. And that
and our
leaves,
women just swallow it. It's
and
unbelievable.
That leaves white men without a partner because the white men are not as inclined. Well, we don't have the sympathy gene, right, that women do. It's built into our women
well,
because they're
it.
Meant to be
do
mothers.
Do we blame Eve for our fall or Adam?
Well, both.
We
you
blame
know, but
Adam.
But Adam played along, didn't he?
Well, Eve was the one seduced. Adam played a part, which is never perfectly explained in the right. scriptural account, but yeah. via the Apocrypha, we realize somehow sexually he was involved in the sin. And if you ask me what my opinion is, I believe that Eve somehow introduced him to having sex with the other races, perhaps with the serpent disguised as yet some other Brazilian, maybe an Asian, who knows? Who
right.
knows?
Whatever. Doesn't
they don't
matter.
Break it down. But Adam participated. Adam was the one that brought our race into sin, not Eve. Yet Eve was the initial one beguiled right. by the serpent. And the right. game plan for the Jews has not changed.
Okay, well,
since
that, brings
the
up, that brings up an issue. And I don't think we've talked about this much, but let me ask Pastor Steve. What could Adam have done under the circumstances, seeing that Eve had already cohabited with someone other than himself? What should Adam have done at that point?
Well, at that point, he did not know.
Okay.
Amen, brother.
She was pregnant when they were kicked out of the garden, and all of a sudden, she started swelling up.
Okay.
And Adam said, "What's this?" And
just like Joseph said, what's this?
When Cain was born, he didn't look like Adam. And she said, I have gotten a man, an Ish, not an Adam.
Right.
With the help of the Shaddai, the mighty one.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil appeared to her as a mighty one, and she called him a mighty one. They tried to stick with the help of Yahweh. No, that's not what it says, because the Syriac and others support Shaddai. That Yahweh business, or with the Lord, when they stuck it in the King James Bible, was just stuck in there. That's more tampering.
Hmm.
That whole verse is corrupt. She was yeah. seduced by a fallen one.
Yes.
That's why they call the children Nephilim, those who have fallen, the fallen ones.
Enoch, in our study of Enoch, Enoch specifically named the angel Gadriel.
Gadriel,
that seduced Eve.
And that is the mirror opposite of Gabriel, which is on Yahweh's team. They
right.
named his, he named his angels opposite with similar names than Yahweh's angels. He wanted to be Yahweh and couldn't cut it.
Right. Okay.
That's the problem.
All right. The verse is Genesis 3, let me back up to verse 9. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee not to eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. All right, so Adam is admitting he did it too. He had sexual intercourse with somebody else other than Eve, but specifically the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which cannot be a literal tree because literal trees don't know the difference between good and evil. Okay? Greg, back to you. What do you think? What was,
brother,
what could Adam have done under these circumstances?
Well, I find it fascinating that it's never actually explained what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the ramifications of his act, it's obvious it was sin of a sexual nature. And I don't believe that his sin was somehow having sex with Eve.
No.
Somehow Adam was defiled or talked into having sex, either with the serpent. The serpent we saw in Jubilees and Jasher, the serpent appeared to Eve as her husband.
Okay.
So if you pin me down, I would guess the serpent appeared to Adam as some other, you know, sensually beautiful creature, female, of who knows what look and race.
Yeah, perhaps, Lilith. The Jewish tradition says even, Lilith. Yeah.
Perhaps even looked like Eve. Who knows? It doesn't break it down, so we're guessing here. But it's obvious the sin was of a sexual nature.
All right, but only
whatever
Eve,
you want to say
yeah,
it is.
Only Eve was deceived. Paul clearly tells us that Eve was deceived and Adam was not.
That's so right.
So it could have been a sin of cynicism. That, you know, he said, okay, all right, I see she's pregnant, and it wasn't by me. And so it appears, well, what do you think, Pastor Steve? Had they had not yet had sex with one another? So was their coupling preempted by Nachash?
She showed he didn't know doodly squat about sex. He was a newly formed creature.
Okay. So they were both naive. In other words, they
very
were both
naive, very, very ignorant. They didn't know anything.
So, in other words, Nachash had to come in and interrupt their relationship before they could have intercourse.
There was a double sin with Chawa, that's Eve. She not only committed adultery because she was Adam's woman, she committed race mixing, which was the second sin. And the progeny was a mongrel, Cain. And later on, it took a while, but Adam had sex with her outside of the garden, because they were kicked out at that point, after she had gestated a couple of times. And she conceived again. See, they mistranslate that portion, the word that they use, is to do again. She conceived again. Cain and Hebel were not brothers. They were half-brothers. Same
Amen.
Mother,
absolutely
different father.
You better believe it.
It was a later time. Hebel was the younger, and Cain was the older, and Hebel was of pure Adamic seed. So what did the seed of the serpent want to do but destroy the Adamic seed? So he slew Hebel with the sacrifice stuff as a pretense. And then he was cast out. And then they had Sheth, not Seth, Sheth, which means replacement. He replaced the pure seed line that was to be carried by Hebel. He was the first that lived of the pure blood seed of the Adam, that particular Adam that Yahweh had formed individually, separate from the race of the Adamites with a small a, the white people that were living there, this was a special seed line that Yahweh created.
Amen, Steve. Yeah.
And that was to result in all the begetting down the line all the way to Jacob Israel.
All right. Okay.
And through Jacob Israel down to Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes, yes.
That was a set apart seed line, and it had to be pure.
Right.
So that's the deal with Adam and Chawa.
But whatever their state of mind, the one thing they neither one of them realized, neither Adam nor Eve realized, is what they were intended to be an immortal species, and their offspring would have been immortal with the Shekinah glory had they not sinned. And this they did not comprehend. At least the text does not tell us that they were given any such knowledge. All we're told is that Yahweh told them not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which means...
Oh, brothers,
go ahead.
The other apocryphal book of Adam and Eve details their grief over the loss of their, you know, their stature,
right,
of being in the Garden of Eden. And they realized what a great thing sin they had done, mm-hmm, according to that book. Who knows what they actually understood? We have the hindsight of millennia of history and understanding behind us. Obviously, Adam was spectacular, incredible version of the white man. Mm-hmm. Maybe the greatest white man that's ever lived on the planet.
Yeah, and he even
hard
made
to
mistakes.
Argue it.
Right,
genetically right. Perfect, direct, yes, creation of Yahweh.
Right.
That had not been defiled through generations of who knows what.
And what we're saying here was perfectly known to Ezra, Nehemiah, Jeremiah. All of the Hebrew prophets knew these things, understood what we're talking about. And so they're bewailing here. Esdras is bewailing the fact now of Israel's fall, just as Adam and Eve fell, because we have fallen into sin ourselves. It's not like that our people don't know it when they're sinning. Right? Why don't you pick up?
You know, brother, I want to jump back in here.
Yeah.
I want to jump back into the book of 2 Ezra here, into verse 36, where Ezra is kind of pouring out his burden to Yahweh. Yahweh is pouring out that he chose a single race on the planet to be his children. Ezra is struggling to understand the situation. He understands it, but he really doesn't see all the ramifications. And who can blame him? Who does?
Yeah.
Do you understand everything? I do not. Ezra clearly was a man of Yahweh, and he knew for his moment on the planet, he was.
Yeah.
If you somehow went back in a time machine to that moment in time, and you wanted to find out what was going on with Yahweh's race,
he wants the restoration of the garden. That's what he's talking about.
You hang out with Ezra. Ezra was as close as it gets.
It seems to me that he was as perplexed as we are.
Exactly, Steve. Well said.
To the motivation.
Exactly, brother, I love you. He was perplexed.
Right.
So listen to what he says. The angel is saying to Ezra,
bewitched, count bothered, up for and me. Bewildered.
Sorry. Yeah, verse 36, count up for me, Ezra, those who have not yet come, and gather for me the scattered raindrops, and make the withered flowers bloom again for me. Symbolic language, but understanding what we know, this could only be speaking about the future elect white children, men and women, to be born. Now, keep in mind, Eli, when we went through this first, we established the chronology of this book somewhere between 450 and 500 B.C. Steve, do you go along with that? Do you have a different opinion? That's what we came up with.
Yes, this was all in that one time period, because the book of Nehemiah occurs between chapter 6 and chapter 7 in the timeline of
Right,
Ezra.
And they were contemporaries. Assuming you meant to say Nehemiah, but
Ezra,
you always say it in
Ezra
Hebrew
was
way, which
the
I don't
prophet,
really know.
And Ezra was the prophet and the scribe, and Nehemiah was the appointed governor.
Yep.
Nehemiah, yeah.
So,
and they were both
500 BC. Ezra's being told, count up for me those who have not yet come.
Yes.
Gather for me the scattered raindrops and make the withered flowers bloom again for me. What else could this be but symbolic language
mine says,
to the white men and white women and children yet to be born, the elect?
And it mine's different. It says, gather me together the dross that are scattered abroad, those that were in dispersion.
Hmm.
Gather me together those that are scattered all over, because we were all over at that point.
Yes.
Part of the tribe of Dan left before the Exodus out of Egypt, because they were a seafaring people and they went all up all through Europe.
Yeah. Well, he's both hearkening back to the good old days and wishing that it all would be made right again, like it was in the good old days.
Continues in verse 37 here. Open for me the closed chambers and bring forth for me the winds shut up in them, or show me the picture of a voice, and then I will explain to you the travail that you asked to understand. And I said, O sovereign Lord, who is able to know these things except he whose dwelling is not with men? Ezra is very perplexed, yes. Just like we are. We see something, we see more than most, but
we don't have the comprehension. We don't have the divine comprehension.
We do not. I don't pretend to have it.
But it's coming in little dribbles and drobbles.
Right.
It's coming.
But we know enough that there's only one way to make things right again.
That's right.
Well, Ezra actually confesses here. He goes, as for me, I am without wisdom. And how can I speak concerning the things which thou hast asked me? And he said to me, just as you cannot do one of the things that were mentioned, so you cannot discover my judgment or the goal of the love that I have promised my people. How exclusive this language
is.
Have we not been taught that Jesus Christ died to save every two-legged hominid on the planet?
Right.
My people. Who is the only people chosen of Yahweh?
Yeah, who is that? Who is that
Israel.
Group?
Israel.
So who is that group?
The Jews.
Me, you can boil all of theology down to a single question. Who is Israel on the earth today? Is it the
Jews, or is it
some other group?
First of all, they have to be of pure blood of the race of Adam.
All right, so the Jews are out right there.
Second of all, they are a specific subsection of that race of Adam that was chosen from the line of Abraham all the way down to Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. You will contend or persevere or overcome as an El. That's what I say in the book of Revelations. The overcomers are Israel, because that's what the name means. We overcome with El.
And that will yet happen. That will yet happen. All right,
yeah,
Greg, please continue. Please continue.
All right. So I said,
verse 41.
And I said, yet behold, O Yahweh, thou dost have charge of those who are alive at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. But what will those do who were before us, or we, or those who come after us?
Yeah, love everybody in between, right?
Love the care of Ezra toward his people, those before him, those after him. He probably thought maybe the end of the age was right then.
Yeah, or the sooner the better. We have the same opinion.
But he did not probably have the realization that 3,000 years later, his book would be being studied by Yahweh's children,
right?
The elect ones at the end. Yep. Maybe he did. Maybe at the end of his life, surely Yahweh gave him understanding. His book was being written for those of us alive right now.
Yes.
Verse 42. He said to me, I shall liken my judgment to a circle. Just as for those who are last, there is no slowness. So for those who are first, there is no haste. Then I answered and said, couldst thou not have created at one time those who have been and those who are and those who will be? that thou mightest show thy judgment the sooner?
Yeah, right.
Come on,
let's
Yahweh, you can
with.
Do anything.
Let's
can't
get
you
it over
just
with.
Have yeah. all the elect born at one time, and let's yeah. just, can we just like get this over with?
Yeah.
Why is it taking so long? I'm very impatient. I hate evil. I hate the whole fall of man and the Jews on the earth. And can we just like have all the elect born at one time and get this thing over with?
Mike,
I made a comment after verse 43. I put, good question, exclamation point. Verse 44, he replied to me and said, the creation cannot make more haste than the Creator. Neither can the world hold at one time those who have been created in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how hast thou said to thy servant that thou wilt certainly give life at one time to thy creation? If therefore all creatures will live at one time, and the creation will sustain them, it might even now be able to support all of them present at one time. Notice he's not giving up on his
right.
argument here.
Yeah,
you have to appreciate the love and the, I tell you, Ezra, I believe we'll get to meet this brother.
Yeah,
I look forward
right.
to hanging out with him.
Yes, we will. Yes.
I mean, what he's not giving yeah. up. He's like kind
of
hanging
Feast
in there with this little argument. Can we just have all the elect at one time and get this over with?
Right. Right.
Yeah. We are very hasty people.
Right.
The angel continues. He said to me, ask a woman's womb. Those of us that have had experience with women can appreciate where this is going.
Right.
Ask a woman's womb and say to it, if you bear 10 children, why one after another? Request it, therefore, to produce 10 at one time. Wow. As a guy that's had 4 children, I need yeah. read no further, but I will. Well,
they do it in the laboratory.
Well, right. yes, the Jewish-inspired yeah. Reproductive laboratories.
Right.
I said, of course it cannot, but only each in its own time. Ezra digging his own grave here in this logical argument.
Sure.
So perfect. What? By the way, do you see the divine? This is like the Mount. You know, Jesus in the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where he just logically destroys any kind of argument against him.
Mm-hmm.
Ask a woman's womb, tell it to bring forth 10 children at once.
Yeah.
Ezra goes, of course it cannot, but only each in its own time. Okay. He said to me, even so, I have given the womb of the earth to those who from time to time are sown in it. For as an infant does not bring forth, and a woman who has become old does not bring forth any longer, so have I organized the world which I created. Then I inquired and said, since thou hast now given me the opportunity, let me speak before thee. Is our mother, of whom thou hast told me, still young? Or is she now approaching old age? What a fascinating, insightful question.
Right.
He's indirectly probing, is the end of the world coming soon?
Right.
Is it a long ways off?
But he's actually asking a question about the race. You know, the race is ageless. I think that's what Yahweh is trying to impress upon Ezra here. Okay?
Yeah.
So don't worry if they can't be born all at once anyhow.
Well,
so take
we're
it as it comes.
We're getting to know Ezra here.
Yeah.
We're getting
yeah.
to know his heart.
Yeah.
He wants the evil age to come to an end and Yahweh's race to be unveiled on the earth.
Right.
Is that not what we want?
I think all the righteous men in Scripture wanted that.
That's what we want. We want this evil age to end. We want our race to be unveiled
yeah.
and
yeah,
no
I'm,
longer
I'm
subdued.
I'm tired of it. I'm very tired
you
of it.
Me both, man.
I can't believe we only have about 10 minutes of birthing left. Please continue.
Verse 51. So, all right. So Ezra asked his question. Is our mother of whom thou hast told me still young, or is she now approaching old age?
That's the
reason. He replied to me, ask
yes.
a woman who bears children, and she will tell you. Say to her, why are those whom you have born recently not like those whom you bore before, but smaller in stature? This is fascinating
yeah.
right here.
Yeah.
And she herself will answer you, those born in the strength of youth are different from those born during the time of old age when the womb is failing.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
I guarantee you science will bear out this statement.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they have proven that women born early on in a woman, children born early on in a woman's life, are usually stronger.
Right.
And sort of mediocre in intelligence as compared to those born later who are not as strong and are more intelligent. The smarter kids are born later.
But the robust, physically stronger ones are born first.
Yeah, yeah, the big warrior types are the young ones.
Right. Yeah, and that's why the firstborn son gets double the double portion, right?
Double portion, yep.
One for being first, one for being bigger and stronger.
He's got the genes to carry on, and he's going to be the dominant of the family.
Right. Okay, please continue, Greg, because
verse 54 here in chapter 5. Therefore, you should also consider that you and your contemporaries are smaller in stature than those who were before you, and those who come after you will be smaller than you, as born of a creation which already is aging and passing the strength of youth. Okay. Now keep in mind that verse was written 500 BC.
Why am I thus says, I feel you. I feel your pain, Ezra.
No wonder I feel like I need a nap every afternoon. Yeah.
Well, this guy was a great prophet.
Mm-hmm. And a philosopher.
All the prophets were going to be less and less and less as time went on until the prophesiers went into complete dispersion. No more prophecy.
Right.
We haven't had any real prophets. We've had pretenders. All these guys that predict all the, on this date, this is going to happen. Horse pucky. It doesn't happen because it says in Scripture, if a prophet prophesies and his word does not come true, do not fear him. Right. He is not a prophet. I have not sent him.
But Yahweh's prophets, their prophecies always come true. There's no doubt about that.
They're still coming true today.
That's right. That's right. Yes, yes. Well, and this word stature, that can be taken in several senses. Now, number one, you know, the physical height, robust health, okay, and various other possible meanings here. Because, for example, it could even mean the tallness or the shortness of the race. Because we know that under Napoleon, he shortened the height of the average French man by about 6 inches through all the wars, okay. And all the taller men were killed, leaving only the shorter men, et cetera, et cetera. So it could be a combination of all of these terms, you know, with the word stature being used, okay? And the Israelites, also righteousness. They were shorter. Their stature and righteousness had failed, had really gone down, right? So it could have all these different meanings that all of them still apply today. Our race has sunk, although we do have ups and downs, okay? We found that out in other scriptures, that, you know, we have these ups and downs. But right now, we are in a down period. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But this is the last down period.
The peak of our race is not going on right now.
Let's nail the rest of this chapter here. We only have two verses.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
I think
Grant.
We've got one verse left, and this would be, you know, a good stopping point, and we can discuss it from here. And, you know, next week we start on chapter 6, which is a spectacular, amazing chapter where
they
really get into the breaking down of, I mean, this whole book is about our race.
Yes.
And next week he talks about the end of this age is the, you know, this is the end of the age of Esau. Right. The coming age is the age of Jacob. I mean, just spectacular racial truth that the Judeo-Christians have no clue whatsoever that this truth even exists.
Right.
And that's what we'll get into next week.
So in verse
chapter
54,
6 might be one of the top chapters in this whole book.
Right. So in verse 54, Ezra is being told that the race of Israel has declined sharply And so pick it up on verse, take it to the end, 55 and 56.
All right. And those who come after you will be smaller than you, as born of a creation which already is aging and passing the strength of youth. And I said, O Yahweh, I beseech thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show thy servant through whom thou dost visit thy creation.
So in other words, the age that we're under is itself dying. There's something going on here.
We're coming down the end of the age.
Yes.
That's right. That's where we are.
Right.
Yeah, this age has actually been ending for a couple thousand years.
Yeah, right.
We're just at the end of that process.
That's right.
It's winding down.
I mean, Ezra clearly thought he was in the end times. He was asking Yahweh, "What can we just get all the elect born, you know, right now? Let's just, you know, fill up the womb.
Doesn't work that way.
Get it over with. Let's end this evil age." And that's when he goes, "Hey, talk to a woman." Once you start talking to a woman, you realize how complicated the situation is.
Come on, wife,
is.
Let's have a dozen kids right now.
Come on,
get it over with.
We're going to have 10 kids. Can we have them all at once? Have to have one after another. How about just 10 at once?
Yeah.
By the way, what a perfect divine example to Ezra.
But even the creation itself grows old. That's what we're being told here. The creation itself, and this era was meant to die. It has to die.
It's winding down.
Right.
To usher in the new age of Yahshua. Yeah,
which will be eternal. We won't get old in the kingdom, in the new age.
By the way, if there's any women in the chat room, I just got a quick question. How would any of you sisters feel about having 10 children simultaneously?
Right.
Any of you care to chime in here and just give your female perspective of answering Ezra's question? Ask a woman, can we just get this age over with? Can we have 10 children at once?
You're going to spawn a bunch of Lizzie Bordens. They're sharpening their axes now.
Right, yeah.
The axes are coming out.
They're going to come to your house.
No,
they will.
No.
Don't go outside, Craig.
So, what this world needs is an enema.
Right? There you go. A 30 caliber enema.
A cosmic enema. That's what we need, folks.
We're down to 2 minutes here, guys.
Did I just hear a 30 caliber enema? Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
All right. The show's getting a little weird.
From a shotgun wedding to a shotgun enema.
There you go.
Yeah, that gets it over quick, hey? Right?
Yeah, buddy.
But we know from this lesson that things must take place according to Yahweh's timetable. Cannot rush it. Okay. And it is our job to stay righteous and be prepared. That's our job. Okay. All right, folks. This has been a wonderful show. I hope you learned a lot from Chapter 5 of 2 Ezra. We'll pick up on Chapter 6 next week. So thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. And here's the theme music.
Shalom.
Praise Yahweh, brothers and sisters. Yahweh bless. Enjoyed the show tonight, Steve and Eli. Yahweh bless, brothers.
Yeah.